Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, it is Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. And B. Scott, your pedicast virginity is about to be taken. You are about to be part of a pedicast, my
Don't
friend.
Pop my pedicast here.
There you go.
I ain't mad at it.
There you go. All right, so text in if you got petties this week, 713-572-4610. There's no pettier show than Payne and Pendergast, and we accentuate it by not only revealing our own petties, but the pettiness of others out there.
Yeah.
Highlighting it. And I'm going to start here. And I didn't realize when I would start here that this would actually strike a nerve with Brandon Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
This is Kim Mulkey, the head basketball, women's head basketball coach at LSU, formerly at Baylor. For the second straight year, she and her team knocked out in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Which was brought up to her by this particular reporter asking the question after the loss.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight.
Just terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Terrible, or is that good?
Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
You want to know what my petty answer would have been to that question if she had asked me that? If I was the who
I
sounds
do.
Like a young student reporter, if I'm not mistaken. That sounded like a young man.
It did.
Okay.
Yep.
My answer would have been about as many as you over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
How many have you played in, ma'am?
Yeah.
Because that's just the point of the question. Like, that, to me, it's just unnecessarily. You're Kim Mulkey. You're a millionaire. Yeah. One of the best of all time in your respective
player
profession.
And coach. She was a great player back
in
the day,
She's borderline an icon.
Hall of Famer across the board. Yeah.
And she wants to be petty with a kid. That's a kid. Her kid is older than him, probably.
Oh, yeah.
He plays in the majors, I think.
Been around a while,
So, like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't get why she got to act like that.
She got the token laugh from a few people that are probably on the LSU beat.
Yeah.
Like, we better laugh at her joke. We better laugh. She's going to give it. We're next.
Yeah. The joke that wasn't funny. How many Final Fours has the kid reporter played in?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You know who's petty about this? Stephen A. Smith.
I'm not going to take away from the fact that Kim Mulkey is a great coach and an established coach. We just need to finally say this about her. She's very rude. Mm. She's very rude. She's very, very rude.
Yes, very condescending.
I mean, she's rude, she's condescending, and unnecessarily so to too many people. But it's always with the right one. See, she don't go up to the wrong ones like that. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like she knows, Shannon, who to do that to and who not to do that to. Because certain people you do that to, they're going to clap back at you. But she is a phenomenal coach, one of the best ever. But she's just a very, very rude person.
Yeah, I agree with everything Stephen A. said right there.
Yeah.
And
just to be clear, I would have been the wrong one who would have clapped back.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's who he's referring to you as the wrong one there.
Stephen A. and I have only met once, and he does not remember my name, I'm sure. But I am the one he's talking about.
Look, I don't know why this is. It feels like in college basketball, this is where that type of interaction, petty, snapback, sore loser, whiny, it seems like college basketball, by far, is the sport, both men's and women's, is where this happens more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Why is that, Brandon
Scott? I think it's a college sports thing in general, and then more acute in basketball just because the beats tend to be a little bit smaller.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously they play more often, right? So I think that kind of lends itself to that, and maybe you just hear them more. But then also just the overall college sports media landscape is one where there's just an imbalance in terms of control and respect, like the interview subjects, and especially the coaches, the ADs, like the people that are really empowered, not even necessarily the players, but the powerful adults, if you will.
Yeah.
There seems to be an imbalance in how they are allowed to treat the media. And then you're talking about reporters who are not all just necessarily, you know, adults like you and I, but in some cases, and I used to be one of these guys, are student reporters.
Yes.
So they're 20, they're the age of some of the players, trying to get their feet wet, trying to get their foot in the door, that sort of thing.
Easily bullyable.
Very, very easily bullyable and impressionable and that sort of thing. And so I think there's just a more significant power imbalance. Whereas in the NFL, NBA, these guys got unions and rules and bylaws and associations and whatnot. Like, you ain't about to go handle up the Pro Football Writers of America the way Kim Mulkey does these kids at these press conferences.
No.
But there is a different, and I would say, power imbalance that lends itself to this type of thing.
All right, so the Browns owners, the Cleveland Browns owners, the Haslams, Jimmy Haslam, D Haslam, we're about to hear from her in a second. They were at the league meetings this week. Jimmy Haslam was. And was asked about Deshaun Watson, the contract, the trade.
Awkward.
Which has turned out to be the worst trade in the history of team sports. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Deshaun Watson is going to end up getting paid $230 million. They are going to have cap problems for at least another 3 years because of it. And he started, I didn't realize the number was this small. He started 19 games for them. 19 games for them. Jimmy Haslam basically closed the book on the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland. He can put up all the workout videos he wants wearing Cleveland Browns gear. He ain't coming back. Jimmy Haslam said this: "We took a big swing and a miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't. We gave up a lot of draft picks to get him. So we got to dig ourselves out of that hole. The trade was an entire organization decision, and it ends with D and I. So hold us accountable."
Yes.
End quote.
Yes.
The owner of the Browns.
And they shall.
They are right now. Yeah.
They shall hold you accountable, and you are obviously accountable from the financial standpoint because you own the team, you write the checks, and so you're going to have to pay that, what is it, $48, $49, close to $50 million over the next, what is he owe?
It's $92 million over the next 2 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Over the next 2 years after you've already acknowledged and sort of accepted, it seems.
Well, that's
like,
not even the extent of all the money either. Like, they've shoved money, they restructured his deal.
Right.
So they've already paid him 45 of the 46 to shove it into future years so they could pay Myles Garrett to get 17 meaningless sacks for them.
Think about it, Sean, too. You can argue the point you just made about it being the worst trade in professional sports. You can argue it from different angles, like depending on how you look at it. But there's the sports angle that you took, which I think is, objectively fair.
Yeah.
To make that assessment. And then all the other stuff around it, which we know what the other stuff is, but you could make the argument that they shouldn't have even been interested to begin with. They were, and then it worked out like this. Like, from almost every angle that could possibly be, this was bad.
To your point, it wasn't just a conventional, we gave up a lot of draft picks for the right to overpay a guy.
Yeah.
This was the conversation that Dee Haslam, one of the co-owners along with her husband Jimmy, was having with the media after the trade was made. You just made a trade for a franchise quarterback, and what you're talking about with the media is there's a big opportunity to talk about the ills of sex trafficking.
Are you concerned that, I mean, that could be death threats, all that kind of stuff, especially when his first game back is in Houston?
You know, I hope the conversation comes to what can we do going forward to get the information out to help other people. And I think there's just a huge opportunity to talk about the major issues in our country in this area, such as sex trafficking and, and massage parlor use, et cetera. There's so much information that we can glean from this, and the opportunity is tremendous. So we can continue to talk about Deshaun, or we can talk about the major issues our country face and make a difference.
Okay. Now, keep in mind,
yikes,
the quarterback that
yikes
they had,
on bikes.
The quarterback that they had just acquired had denied doing any of these things.
Right.
Nor, said I didn't do it.
Nor was he actually accused of sex trafficking.
Right.
He was accused. Like, she's taking a different angle and a different point, making a different point than what was presented.
Right.
Because he was actually accused of sexual predatory behavior.
Misconduct. Yeah.
Like, the theoretical sex trafficker would have been somebody that we hadn't heard of.
Yes.
Not Deshaun Watson.
It was just wild,
so,
man.
Like, and just the fact that you even have to talk about sex in an inappropriate kind of way, whether it's trafficking or just straight up violating somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a straight up trade for a guy. But no, now can we have a larger conversation about the ills of all things sex trafficking?
You
yikes.
Traded 7 draft picks and paid a guy $230 million for the right to discuss sex trafficking at training camp.
Yeah, which I don't think you want to do.
Oh, my God. All right, I want to make sure we get these other petties in. Boy, I could go. We got 2 more D Haslams that we could play. Well, maybe we'll play them later.
My goodness.
Her on counseling. Oh, my God. Fran Brown is the head coach at Syracuse.
Yes.
I believe he was a Bear Bryant Award finalist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because that name came across.
He's a big personality.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it was an interview. But yeah, because, you know, like, we obviously do the Bear Bryant Award.
Yeah, I think he was in town for that, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he's frustrated. The NCAA put the kibosh on a spring game that would have taken place between Syracuse and Colorado. Here is Fran Brown feeling petty towards the NCAA.
We should have just told Coach Belichick and Bill O'Brien to come up with it, and then they would have let them do it, and then it would have all went right. We shouldn't have been the first 2 dudes to say, you know, damn well they wasn't about to let Coach Prime Time and Fran Brown be the first 2 guys to do it. It was over their dead bodies, so that wasn't happening.
Okay, that was saucy.
Yeah.
Now he went on to right after that say, "I'm just joking. Yeah. I'm just kidding."
But he let that joke carry on for quite a while for it to be just a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
This was now the audio got to be a little too long, and he went on for a couple of minutes. But I am with Fran Brown on this. He went on to say that this was going to be the 2 teams getting together, not only to play in a spring game. And keep in mind, this isn't an environment now where more universities are canceling their spring games.
Right.
You know, Matt Rhule said we canceled it because other teams are going to see the film and they're going to basically look at it like they're on Amazon shopping for players or whatever. Matt Rhule.
Espionage, huh?
Yeah.
Trade secrets.
Yeah. Coach Prime and Fran Brown are doing the opposite. They want to get together and play against each other. But the thing I thought was cool that Fran Brown was talking about, it wouldn't just be to get together for a game, but it would be to get together for, you know, they would have like a breakout for like financial literacy for all these guys
sure.
with their NIL money. So it would be almost like a
workshop,
like a football convention almost,
yeah, there
you know, like we'd have a game, but we would have some things to, you know, that would be beneficial.
A mini symposium.
For today's college players. Symposium is a great word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So leave it to the NCAA to put the kibosh on something that sounds like it could have been super productive and fun.
Yeah. And I don't really understand. Like, I didn't even realize this was happening until we heard from Fran Brown and, you know, the joking outrage, if you will,
yeah.
that he had for it. But I don't get the resistance toward this, but I do understand what Fran Brown is trying to say here in terms of, hey, if this had looked different or if there were different voices behind this, would the response to it have been different? I do feel like he might have had a point. Now, I am surprised. This is the PettyCast. I am very surprised to hear a college football. Maybe I just don't listen to enough Fran Brown press conferences. Why would I? But I am very surprised that he would take a joke to those lengths. Like a college football coach who usually, outside of Prime, usually play it by the book or straight down the line, straight down the middle,
yeah.
that he would kind of venture out a little bit and make that joke.
Stretching his legs out a little bit.
A little bit. An elongated joke there.
All right, we've had this actual request from people. Maybe not so much for a petty cast, but hey, are you guys going to cite Rafael Devers' stats so far this year at any point during the show today? Yeah, I feel like the petty cast is the perfect place to do this. He went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts again
last night.
Yesterday.
Wait, Again?
Again.
How many strikeouts again?
He's 0 for 19 with now 15 strikeouts.
Oh, because I lost track at 10.
Yeah.
He had 10 not too long ago, and I was like, damn.
Now, he was right. We asked him yesterday, do you think you'll get a hit today, Rafi?
No.
Yeah, he didn't. Do you think you'll actually, like, not strike out?
No.
Yeah. Well, on the two walks he got, he didn't strike out. But when you swing the bat, do you think you're going to make contact in fair territory today, maybe?
No.
No, probably not. Fun fact? You want a fun fact?
Yeah.
He's got 15 strikeouts in 19 at-bats. Rafael Devers. In 1995, Tony Gwynn had 15 strikeouts in 585 at-bats.
Tony Gwynn, he ain't.
He ain't Tony Gwynn, no. Man. Does the afternoon show still have Tony Gwynn Jr. on their show from time to time? I guess we're not really. Well, now we're in baseball season.
Yeah, once we get in the thick of the baseball season, I'd imagine. So he's still doing radio out in our sister station in San Diego, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
So he should still be some sort of Odyssey MLB insider.
I know show's listening, right? I think.
Yeah, he'll let us know.
Yeah, so yeah, if you're not telling you how to program the drive, Sterner and Hughley, you guys are doing fine on your own. But that's a fun fact to bring up to Tony Gwynn Jr., you know?
Yeah, and you don't have to encourage them to bring on Tony. They like to bring on Tony. He's a good guest.
Yeah.
That would be that'd be an interesting thing to bring up. But honestly, like, just the idea that Alex Bregman's presence and Rafael Devers not playing third base where he wasn't really good anymore.
If this ruins him, I am so here for this.
It is hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Petties, people texting in their petties, 713-572-4610. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Petty about those damn torpedo bats. Anything that helps the Yankees hurts me. Well, there's nothing stopping the Astros from ordering torpedo bats.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that the Yankees got them. It's how is this allowed and we ain't did it yet.
Yes.
Like somebody pointed out, you know, correctly, hey, if everybody's allowed to do it, it ain't cheating. Well, that's why I said it feels like cheating and it ain't, you know?
Yes.
Because it does. You cannot say that a specialized bat where the barrel is somewhere specific to where you hit the ball doesn't feel like cheating. But if they say it's not against the rules, then it's obviously not cheating. Why aren't you doing this, especially three extra base hits?
Yes. You could use it right about now. You could use anything.
Come on, Dale. Get Jake Myers a torpedo bat.
Hey, speaking of the drive, there's a texter that says Kim Mulkey sounds like Mama Sterner. Hey Ben, can you isolate Kim Mulkey at the end of that cut there?
This is all Southern white women sound the same. What are we doing here?
That's exactly what we're doing.
Pettycast it is.
It's the Pettycast, yeah. And by the way, it's no shade at Mama Sterner.
No, I can hear it. Yeah. I can hear it, though. Yeah.
Mama Sterner threatened to whoop my ass many a time.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, Ben.
I take a word for it.
How many Final Fours you play in?
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
None.
Yeah.
They sound exactly alike.
Cut from a similar cloth.
Yeah. I bet their coaching style is very similar as well.
Yeah, except that, like I said, I would clap back at Kim Mulkey. I would not clap back at Mama Sterner. All right? If Mama Sterner puts me in my place, I will, maybe I'll call Clint afterward and see if he can put in a good word.
Wash your mouth out with a little bit of Coors Light.
See, that doesn't sound so bad.
Yes, ma'am.
But it feels like when she says that, I think we're getting waterboarded with Coors Light.
Yes.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with Coors Light. I'm like, well, that's okay. I mean, it's a nice cold beer, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I would choose the Yingling Flight, but I'm not the one making this decision.
Yeah, no.
But I think we're getting waterboarded with the beer.
If you're getting waterboarded with the beer, you don't get to
not pick as much
your,
fun.
You don't get to pick your poison either. You get to just kind of suffer through.
All right, that was the Pettycast. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
All right. Do fans want an 18-game season? I brought this up with Seth yesterday, and he said unequivocally he thinks more fans don't want it than do one. And I put up a poll. Also, the rule changes get voted on today at the league meetings in West Palm Beach. Let's get on the record. B. Scott and I are going to try to predict what the vote will be. Will these rule changes pass today at the meetings in West Palm Beach? That's coming up next.